Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Good morning to you all. I'm Randy Dean, the No BS Bishop. It's a pleasure, an honor, a treasure of my heart to be here with you again for this episode of Alive to Love. I'm the No BS Bishop. All lesser values than love can become easily BS, which in a soft way to describe it is bait and switch. If you have other ways to describe BS, that's your business. But my business here is love. That's what I'm here for. I've been over 4 years of these broadcasts. I really am proud of this project. It really does own my heart. And so thank you for coming in here. Whether you're new or you're a repeat listener, you make me smile. You make me happy. I am so grateful for you. So to that end, we dive right in here. So every No BS Bishop, we start with something I call Love's Creed. It's a creed that I wrote about a decade ago, but it wasn't a creed when I wrote it. It was a New Year's resolution. I refined it a little bit, tweaked it here and there, changed a word or two now and then, but essentially it's remained the same. The core value of it is a creed of my life to be alive to love, which became then the title of this broadcast and an upcoming podcast that's growing slowly but surely. It's coming in very close to our first recording date as I'm talking to you right now. But the creed, here it is. I'm going to read it in total for you. I'll give you a good hearing of it. Then we'll come back. And then I'll offer it to you in short bursts like I would vows at a wedding altar. So then you'll repeat after me. If you'd like a copy of Love's Creed, you could write me at randydeanministries@gmail.com. That's randydeanministries, all one word, lowercase, @gmail. I'd be happy to send you a copy so you could have it in your computer, your phone, or on a 3x5 card for your sun visor in your car, or your bathroom mirror while you're shaving or putting on your makeup. You can say the creed that says, this is what my life is about, and it's about love. All right, here it is in total. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. All right, there it is in total. Now let me come back at it, take another run toward it, give it to you in short bursts so you can repeat after me. You ready? Here we go. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. There it is, Love's Creed, something I treasure, something I live, something I reach for every day. Never perfect at it. No. I'm not in a perfectionistic mode about this. I'm in a pilgrimage mode about love. I recognize that my practice of love is on any given day a human venture. It's human in that it's incomplete, it's flawed, it's potentially failed, but it's also potentially part of what I am as a human. It's what I carry forward in my world. I know, I've said before to you that I know when I've preached on love as a pastor of the last 5 decades, I know I'll get somebody, if I've preached on love, somebody's going to say, oh yeah, you talk big, you preach big, but when you needed to love me, you didn't love me. And I used to take great offense of that. I used to take a little umbrage at somebody accusing me of that. But I grew up, you know, somewhere in 50 years, I finally grew up and I realized, you know what, maybe they're right. So I've learned to say, you're right. I'm on a pilgrimage. I'm not perfect at this, but I'm reaching for it. I want it. It's not that I've chosen to just be a blundering fool, but I am stumbling forward toward love. Wouldn't our world be a greater place if all of us stumbled forward toward love? So that's what I want to talk to you about today. Let's all set our compass toward a world of love. That's the subject for today. Setting our compass toward a world of love. And it, whether you're stumbling toward it or you're jogging toward it or you're in full sprint toward it, on any given day, let's aim on being on a journey toward a world of love, setting our compass toward that. I just have, it's about a dozen thoughts about how that might come about. So if you got a pen and paper, get that out, take some notes, or you can go back and listen to this on the WPCA radio website. We keep an archive of these broadcasts there. I so appreciate WPCA being my tech support, my tech foundation for this. You could go back and listen to this. But here's, like I said, about a dozen thoughts about a world of love. What would it look like? Well, first of all, it looks like recognizing that the greatest single need and desire of all humankind is love. Love is the greatest single need, and it's the greatest single desire of humankind. We're all in some reach to be loved. I would ask as well that we also be in some reach to love, that in fact that we would seek to love more than we seek to be loved. I think we get what we give. I think the law of reciprocity is at play there, or what Jesus called sowing and reaping, and what Paul called what you sow is what you reap. So if I want to be sowing love, I want a harvest of love, well, I wonder what kind of seeds I've planted. Listen to yourself for the next few days. You'll hear your future in your own words. So if it's about love, well, then your future will be love if your comments and your conversation is aimed at love. But listen to yourself in the next few days. You're going to hear yourself in your own words, your future self in your own words. I think, secondly, every person is worthy of receiving love. So the greatest single need and desire of humankind is love, but I also believe every person, yeah, even that one that you're thinking about that isn't worthy, they are. Every person is worthy of receiving love. On reflection of that, I would propose that those people that are unlovable have somewhere been absolutely deprived of authentic and genuine human connectivity in love. That the reason they're possibly impossible, seems to be impossible to love, is that they have love losses in their life, and not just of recent days, but more than likely in their formative years from 0 to 4. That we know by research that every human being is formed, their personality is shaped, their foibles, their forces, their power, their weaknesses, what they become as a person, that's shaped in the earliest moments of their breaths on earth, and in those moments prior to kindergarten, there's something shaping in there. There's something cooking in that kitchen, and whether it's the aroma of good smelling homemade bread or something burning in the kitchen, that's probably happening in those first 4 years. And when someone's been deprived of love in those first 4 years, it's certainly going to show up, isn't it, in their adult years. their miseries will arrive for all to see. And I think that's what we recognize when we see somebody that we don't want to love because their misery index is high. But every person is worthy of receiving love. Now, I also believe this is the third part of what I'm talking about today, is there's never a moment when you cannot love. There's never a moment when you cannot love. I'm convinced that the human condition is hardwired for love. And there's never a moment that you can't love. Oh, I know it's small or great. I know it can be reduced by somebody else's manipulation. Your capacity to love could be threatened by somebody else's anger, rage, revenge, or what have you. But there's never a moment that we cannot love. We can love on some level, even if it's small. We can love in response to those miserable actions put upon us. Or we can love large when there's no resistance. We have the opportunity with every breath to be a lover, to be a lover of life, a lover of the human race, to be a lover of every leaf and every twig and every morsel of food we eat, every grain of dirt. My wife loves to talk about dirt therapy, and I think she's on to something, except I'd hate to take her dirt therapy away from her, because that's her gardening, and God forbid that I should jump into her business. Yeah, I hope you heard my silliness there. But anyway, we are always accessible, and we can always access love. The fourth thing I want to talk to you about here in the world of love and setting our compass for a world of love is that the greatest power we possess is the power to love. So to that end, when we talk about being powerful, being a person of influence, having significant personality to carry the day, listen, the greatest power you possess is love. The greatest power that is in your reach, that comes from you, through you, to you, and then out from you, is that's love. It's the greatest power we humans possess. It's really a unique power to us humans. I do know that the animal kingdom has ways of displaying love, but for the human being, the unlimited, beyond the ordinary ability to express love is extraordinary, and we possess that power, every one of us. The fifth thing about this setting our compass for a world of love is every thought, every word, every act, and every expression motivated by love matters. It's doing something in the big world around us. Listen, I know it can feel like we don't matter. It can feel like we're not changing one whit of our journey and venture on this planet. But I'm convinced in setting our compass for a world of love that every thought, every word, every act, and every expression motivated by love, it matters. The sixth thing about setting our compass toward a world of love is about the freedom. We're always free to be able to choose love. I think the choice in there can be hindered, can be handicapped, can be oppressed or pushed back. There can be significant pushback, as a matter of fact, but the choice is always ours to make, large or small. So if it's, you know, if you're in one of those bad days, then make a small choice to love. But if you're in one of those days when the freedom is wide open, then make big choices. Make the choice to take a chance with saying, as we'll do at the end of the broadcast today, say to somebody, hey, I love you. I said that to someone I hadn't seen in a long time the other day out in an open market area, and we chatted a bit, and then as we paused and say goodbye, I turned around and I said, hey, I love you. You would have thought I'd thrown a water balloon at him. You thought I'd hit him with a stick. They looked at me with such stunned, startled appearance and said right away, well, yeah, you too. And off we went. And I do not fault them. I blindsided them. I get that. But I'm determined to normalize saying, I love you. All right, the seventh quality of this setting our compass toward a world of love is that love is the highest expression and fulfillment of any true philosophy or spirituality, religion or spirituality. Love is the highest expression. Jesus said this, "By this all will know you're my disciples if you have love." Not if you have the right doctrine, not if you have the biggest church, not if you have the best choir, not if you have the greatest preacher, not if none of those things matter according to Jesus, but love is what matters to Jesus. In fact, Jesus said, by this all will know you're my disciples indeed if you have love for one another. And he also said, now love the way I love. Well, how did he love? He laid his life down. He was hung on a cross. We're in the middle of Lent right now as I record this. And on that cross, that was pure, extraordinary, miraculous love. There was God in the form of the Son of God hanging upon a cross, being lynched. Why? Because of love. Wow. That's the highest expression of any philosophy, religion, or spirituality. All right, number eight in the setting our compass for a world of love is that our deepest personal work in this world is to remove all the barriers that we've built inside of ourselves against love. Those margins we hold in there, we hold it close to our vest. I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to, you know, that might be misunderstood. Somebody might take my words of love wrong. Well, that's possible. There's no guarantees at all. But what if they take it right? What if dropping our guard and removing the barriers we build inside of ourselves against love, what if that might just start this domino effect worldwide that love will matter, that love will save the day, that love will be the superpower, and it is, that creates a better world. So in our setting a compass for a world of love, it's so important to, in our own personal work, our own fearless and searching moral inventory, according to AA, that we look inside for where those barriers exist in us that keep us from pure, unadulterated, unafraid expressions of love. The ninth thing about setting our compass toward a world of love is to recognize there's no higher calling than being love. If you remember in Love's Creed, I say, I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. So I'm alive to love, but I'm alive for love. And in this context of no higher calling than being love, it encompasses the notion that we're being love more than we're saying love. And if we will be love, well, then our deeds will follow what we be. I'm trying to be clever there so you'll remember it. Our deeds will follow what we be. So in that context, I say, I've said to folks that will ask me, so how do you know you're called to be a preacher? Well, I know I'm called to be a lover. And if I know how to preach, then I'll love people through my preaching. Or whatever it may be, if you know you're called to be a dad, a mom, if you know you're called to be a coach or an athletic team, if you know you're called to be a janitor, a teacher, if you know you're called, whatever that calling is, the highest calling is to love. Not to just make a buck. You know, really, count me out on that. Now, trust me when I say I'm looking to have some bucks in my life to pay the bills. Of course I am. But I'm not on this earth to just make a buck. That's slavery. I won't be a slave to simply being called to make the most money, to be the richest guy on the block, to be more successful than the next person. That's slavery. I just will not live that life because my greatest calling, our highest calling, is being love. The tenth manner by which we set our compass for a world of love is to recognize that giving it or receiving it is transformational. Now hear this carefully when I say, you know, I've been at this for some time now, trying to pull people, attract people toward the journey of love, and recognizing It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's a lifetime pursuit. But I've been inviting people to say those three most magical, charmed words in the human language. We'll close with that here in a moment. To say it. And I cannot tell you the varying responses I get. Well, I don't know. It makes me nervous. I don't know. It's hard. And I don't know. If you could imagine what I hear back. I do it in a group or two occasionally. And in that group, I've had people say, well, I know you're going to do that. So I measure very carefully who I'm sitting close to, because there's just some people I can't look them in the eye and say, I love you. It's too uncomfortable. Well, okay. But should I stop that challenge? Should I pull back because it's uncomfortable? No, I won't. Because saying it, giving it, or receiving it, hearing it, it's transformational. You never know, as I'll say when we close, you never know who the person is who hasn't heard that expression in days, weeks, months, maybe years, God forbid. It's transformational to give it and to receive it. The 11th means of setting our compass for a world of love is the wholeness and the wholesomeness of loving yourself. Caring for that person in the mirror. I said a few moments ago that listen to your words. Listen to what you're speaking out loud, and you'll hear your future in your words. This is being acquainted with loving yourself. Why do you say the things you say about you? And why wouldn't you want to change that toward a more loving internal conversation, a more compassionate, desirable word for yourself? I ask myself, and I'm asking you to ask yourself, if you wouldn't say it to your best friend, why would you say it to yourself? If you're cruel to yourself, but you wouldn't be cruel to your best friend, well, that's what I'm talking about here. Love yourself with tender kindness and with a sense that you're creating your own internal world, and internal realities are likely to become external realities. Well, last but not least in setting our compass to create a world of love is, if you're ever confused about what should you do, what should you say, I don't know what's going on around me right now, somebody's in a conversation that's a little nerve-wracking, ask yourself this question. What would love do? What would love say? How would love behave in this particular matter? What would love do? Ask yourself how love behaves right now, how love speaks right now, how love can just simply be. If you don't have to say anything, fine, but be the presence of love. About a decade ago, I wrote a book called Radiance. I am convinced that we are, every one of us, carrying a radiance of life and love and healing and beauty. We carry it with us. You don't have to say it. It's in there. And people know it. It's in there. They'll feel it. They'll know. Some folks call it your energy enters the room, and they know there's that energy. And sometimes that energy can be fake or nerve-wracking or mean. But in this case, I'm inviting you. Let's ask ourselves this question. What would love do? Maybe the better question is, how will love be in this room? That's setting our compass toward a world of love. All right, well, I need to bring this in for a landing today. I do a couple of things to close every No BS Bishop Alive to Love, and I've already brushed up against one of those practices. But first of all, let's breathe, shall we? I know you're over there breathing, whatever you're doing, driving or sitting in your living room or in the kitchen, wherever it may be, you're breathing. I get it. That's the most essential human practice of just life and survival. We breathe. But do we breathe well? Are we breathing in a way that's keeping our blood pressure low? Are we managing our breaths in a way that treats our body in a healthy way? And I'm suggesting here, and many people do, that when you breathe deeply, every so often, just stop, slow life down, and breathe, you'll change your health. On the count of three, take the deepest breath you can, hold it against your diaphragm, and then exhale. One, two, three. Inhale. And hold it. And exhale. Take a few minutes every day. And if nothing else, when you lay in bed at night, lay flat on your back and just give yourself the opportunity to breathe deep. Hold it for as long as you can and then exhale slowly. Don't raise your shoulders or give yourself any real discomfort in it, but as much as you can with as little struggle, take a good breath, a cleansing breath, and then exhale out all the negativity and the pain. Now, the second practice has already been discussed a little bit, and that is saying the three most holy, magical, charmed words in the human language, and they are, I love you. Stopping the rush of life, looking somebody in the eye, get slow eye contact. Yes, it's uncomfortable. Yes, it's unsettling, but say it, I love you. I said in my sharing today that it's transformational, both in the giving and the receiving, to be able to give life to somebody in those sweet, magnificent, delicious words. I love you. Life can spin around a 180-degree turn if it's not been heard, if it's not been received, if it's not been given. It can sure heal a whole lot of something with the simplicity of those three words. I want you to imagine that I'm looking you right in the eye right now, and I'm saying those three holy, charmed, and magical words to you right now. Imagine my eyes are kind and soft as I look at you with a smile, and I'm saying, hey, you out there, listen, baby girl, baby boy, I want you to know, I love you. You're worthy of that. Now make that your internal conversation with yourself. Maybe tell yourself, hey, you, yeah, I'm talking to you. I love you. Thank you for being here today with this episode of the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. All lesser values than love devolve into BS, and I'm trusting and hoping that you take these matters to heart and that you practice what I'm preaching. I know I'm trying. I am not perfect, but my pilgrimage is on, baby. So go out there now and do something beautiful in this world of ugly. Ugly is getting done to death. It's time for people of beauty to rise and shine in the power of love. Happy trails, y'all.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.